so, so much. I love you so, 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 so much. Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back.
All right, all you positive heads, welcome. Welcome one and all. I am super excited that you've joined me on this magical today. And today I thought I would talk about how we talk to ourselves. What kind of self-talk is going on within our heads every single day? And how many of us are paying attention to it? Oftentimes, these thoughts just are rolling around in our head. And sometimes, if we allow it to get a little too out of control, we'll allow these thoughts to roll around in our head and keep us up at night. And maybe, even if it gets bad enough, give us nightmares. And we have control over all of this. We are the ones who are in control of our thinking, our thought process. It doesn't always feel like it because it feels like sometimes it is out of control. But we are the ones who are in charge of what we think. And it takes this awareness of how am I talking to myself? And I like to think about it like this. When we are taking a good look at how we're talking to ourselves, are we talking to ourselves as if we would talk to our child or a child? Any child. Would we talk to someone's child like this, our own child like this, our best friend like this? And if we wouldn't, then why are we talking to ourselves like this? Why are we beating up on ourselves in this way? And when we do this, what we're actually doing is creating more of this in our reality, more circumstances for us to be upset about and stress about and worry about. And so today I found a clip from Neville Goddard, who's one of my absolute favorites. And this is a clip from, you know, Neville Goddard died in 1972. And most of his work happened in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that this clip is somewhere within the 50s or 60s. So this is a very old clip. And this man was well before his time in terms of our era, right? This knowledge has been known throughout the ages. It's just been kept secret. And like many of that time, the reference was the Bible. And so he uses a lot of Bible reference. And what I like about this is we can really see a bridge between religion and spirituality when we look at the concept. The concept is always the same. What's interesting is that we can look to many different ancient religious works and we can find all of these same concepts, all saying the same thing, just in a different way. So take a listen to Neville Goddard. This clip is called Man's Thinking Becomes Reality. And I found this on the Neville God Art YouTube channel. Take a listen.
Most of us are totally unaware of the fact that our inner conversations are the causes of the circumstances of our life. We are told that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But do we know that man's thinking follows the tracks laid down in his own inner conversations? To turn the tracks to which he is tied in the direction in which he wants to go, he must put off his former conversation, which is called in the Bible the old man, and be renewed in the spirit of his mind. Speech is the image of mind. Therefore, to change his mind, he must first change his speech. By speech is meant those mental conversations we carry on with ourselves. The world is a magic circle of infinite possible mental transformations, for they are an infinite number of possible mental conversations. When man discovers the creative power of inner talking, he will realize his function and his mission in life. Then he can act to a purpose. Without such knowledge, he acts unconsciously. Everything is a manifestation of the mental conversations which go on in us without our being aware of them. But as civilized beings, we must become aware of them and act with a purpose. A man's mental conversations attracts his life. As long as there is no change in his inner talking, the personal history of the man remains the same. To attempt to change the world before we change our inner talking is to struggle against the very nature of things. Man can go round and round in the same circle of disappointments and misfortunes, not seeing them as caused by his own negative inner talking, but as caused by others. This may seem far-fetched, but it is a matter which lends itself to research and experiment. The formula the chemist illustrates is not more certainly provable than the formula of this science by which words are clothed in objective reality. One day a girl told me of her difficulties in working with her employer. She was convinced that he unjustly criticized and rejected her very best efforts. Upon hearing her story, I explained that if she thought him unfair, it was a sure sign that she herself was in need of a new conversation piece. There was no doubt but that she was mentally arguing with her employer, for others only echo that which we whisper to them in secret. She confessed that she argued with him mentally all day long. When she realized what she had been doing, she agreed to change her inner conversations with her employer. She imagined that he had congratulated her on her fine work, and that she, in turn, had thanked him for his praise and kindness. To her great delight, she soon discovered that her own attitude was the cause of all that befell her. The behavior of her employer reversed itself. It echoed, as it had always done, her mental conversations with him. I rarely see a person alone without wondering to what conversation piece is he tied. On what mysterious track is he walking? We must begin to take life consciously, for the solution of all problems lies just in this. The second man, the Lord from heaven in all of us, is trying to become self-conscious in the body, that he may be about his Father's business. What are his labors? To imitate his Father, to become master of the Word, master of his inner talking, that he may mold this world of ours into a likeness with the kingdom of love. The prophet said, "Be ye imitators of God as dear children." How would I imitate God? Well, we are told that God calls things that are not seen as though they were seen, and the unseen become seen. This is the way the girl called forth praise and kindness from her employer. She carried on an imaginary conversation with her employer from the premise that he had praised her work, and he did. Our inner conversations represent in various ways the world we live in. Our individual worlds are self-revelations of our own inner speech. We are told that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof. For by their words they shall be justified, and by their words they shall be condemned. We abandon ourselves to negative inner talking, yet expect to retain command of life. Our present mental conversations do not recede into the past as man believes. They advance into the future to confront us as wasted or invested words. My word, said the prophet, shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in all the things whereto I sent it. How would I send my word to help a friend? I would imagine that I am hearing his voice, that he is physically present, that my hand is on him. I would then congratulate him on his good fortune, tell him that I have never seen him look better. I would listen as though I heard him. I would imagine that he is telling me he has never felt better, he has never been happier. And I would know that in this loving, knowing communion with another, a communion populous with loving thoughts and feelings, that my word was sent, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It is only what is done now that counts, even though its effects may not be visible until tomorrow. We call not aloud, but by an inner effort of intense attention. To listen attentively, as though you heard, is to create. The events and relationships of life are your word made visible. Most of us rob others of their willingness and their ability to be kind and generous by our fixed attitudes towards them. Our attitudes unfold within us in the form of mental conversations. Inner talking from premises of fulfilled desire is the way to consciously create circumstances. Our inner conversations are perpetually outpictured all around us in happenings. Therefore, what we desire to see and hear without, we must see and hear within, for the whole manifested world goes to show us what use we have made of the word. If you practice this art of controlled inner speaking, you too will know what a thrill it is to be able to say, "And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." You will be able to consciously use your imagination to transform and channel the immense creative energies of your inner speech from the mental, emotional level to the physical level. And I do not know what limits, if any, there are to such a process. What is your aim? Does your inner talking match it? It must, you know. If you would realize your aim, or as the prophet asked, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And of course the answer is no, they cannot. The two who must agree are your inner conversation and the state desired. That is, what you desire to see and hear without, you must see and hear within. Every stage of man's progress is made by the conscious exercise of his imagination, matching his inner speech to his fulfilled desire. As we control our inner talking, matching it to our fulfilled desires, we can lay aside all other processes. Then we simply act by clear imagination and intention. We imagine the wish fulfilled and carry on mental conversations from that premise. The right inner speech is the speech that would be yours were you to realize your ideal. In other words, it is the speech of fulfilled desire. Now you will understand how wise the ancient was when he told us in the Hermetica, "There are two gifts which God has bestowed upon man alone and on no other mortal creature. These two are mind and speech, and the gift of mind and speech is equivalent to that of immortality. If a man uses these two gifts rightly, he will differ in nothing from the immortals. And when he quits his body, mind and speech will be his guides, and by them he will be brought into the troop of the gods and the souls that have attained to bliss." With the gift of mind and speech, you create the conditions and circumstances of life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, said Hermes, is Son, and mind is father of the Word. They are not separate one from the other, for life is the union of Word and mind. You and your inner talking or Word are one. If your mind is one with your inner conversation, then to be transformed in mind is to be transformed in conversation. It was a flash of the deepest insight that taught Paul to write, "Put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man." Put on the new man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind is to change your inner conversation, for speech and mind are one. A change of speech is a change of mind.
Put on a new man. Put on a new woman. Put on a new personality, a new perception, a new understanding, a new awareness. We can all change our thoughts, change our inner speech in this way each and every single day. And when he talks about using our imagination, it almost feels ridiculous, like he said, to do it, to imagine these people behaving in a way that we don't see them behaving. And to go through this imagination land that we're just creating, and it seems ridiculous. But when we do this, it actually works. I've done this many times in my life where I've felt either, I don't know, put out or less than in one way or another, whether it was in my career or in a relationship. And I changed my thought about it. I changed my perception. And what happened? That situation changed. That relationship changed, all because I changed. So he is 100% correct that this is the way to do it. And we all have to be okay with letting our imaginations run wild. The imagination is the key. It's always the key. I've been talking about the imagination for so long because I work within the imagination each and every single day. I encourage my clients to use their imaginations because this is how we get our answers. We think it's our imagination. It feels like our imagination, but really what we're doing is communicating with our spirit. So he said something very poignant there that I want to point out, this quote: "The world is a magic circle of infinite possible mental transformations." A magical circle of infinite possible mental transformations. That is a humongous statement. I love the thought of a magical circle. How about you? Within a magical circle, we can create anything we desire, and we can have any sort of possible mental transformation that we desire, as long as we're matching our thoughts and our perceptions to that desire. That's all it takes. And like he said, our world and the others around us will echo to us what we whisper to them in secret. I love that. What we are whispering, what we are imagining in our minds, they will echo that. Our external reality will become whatever we are imagining in our minds. That point he also made, that when we are not doing this, what we're doing is also robbing others of their ability to be kind and generous because of our fixed attitude towards them. And that's not very kind and generous of us, is it? So wouldn't it be more fun if we looked at every single person that we encounter, whether it is physically or in our minds, whether we know them or don't know them, look to them assuming that they are always doing their best and that they are kind, they are generous. And the more we put that out there, the more that vibration is out there, the more they can pick up on that and the more they reflect it back to us. This world is energy. That is all we are. That is all we exist in. And we get to manipulate it. We get to play with it. We get to make it whatever we want it to be. And it all begins with our thoughts. Like he used that Bible phrase, the very beginning, the first line in the Bible: "In the beginning was the Word." The Word is our thought focus. Our thought focus is what created all of this, all of creation. Creator's thought focus, our thought focus, because we are all, as one, the Creator. And so that means each and every one of us, with our own thought focus, every single day, whatever we are focusing on is what we are creating. Where our attention goes, our energy flows. And I think that's going to do it for me today, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that Neville Goddard clip. I'm going to leave you with this song from Geometry called "Distant Talk." Until next time, I love you all.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.